Artemio Cruz lies dying at 71, his once powerful body now betraying him with every labored breath. As pain strikes like a long, cold dagger in his stomach, his consciousness fragments between first, second, and third person perspectives, a kaleidoscope of memories reflecting his disintegrating self. His daughter Teresa reads a newspaper with apparent indifference. His wife Catalina offers hollow caresses after decades of mutual resentment. When a priest approaches with last rites, Cruz demands his secretary instead, clinging to business affairs even at death's door. Just yesterday, he maintained composure during an airplane engine failure while others panicked, a fitting metaphor for how he's navigated life's moral hazards. His thoughts turn to his vast empire, real estate investments, mining interests, logging concessions, newspaper ownership, and $15 million secretly deposited abroad. This wealth came through exploiting peasants, political connections, and corrupt practices spanning decades of what he dismissively calls social peace. As his body fails, swelling, blue fingernails, frozen feet he no longer feels, the boundaries between past and present blur. My body is dying of pain, but my brain is full of light. They are separating, he realizes, as memories flood back with crystalline clarity. Through this fragmentation, we witness a life built on contradiction and compromise, a man confronting the sum of his choices as death strips away all pretense. The Mexican Revolution forged Artemio Cruz through fire and blood. As a young officer fighting Huerta's forces, he embodied revolutionary idealism, reducing workdays and distributing land to peasants. His relationship with Regina represented this period's moral purity, their love a celebration of the new day. This idealism shattered during a brutal ambush. Escaping into a forest, Artemio encountered a severely wounded comrade with a red, limp rag of torn flesh for an arm. He made his first crucial moral choice, abandoning the man to save himself, a decision that haunted him despite his justifications. Returning to headquarters, he found Regina hanged among other hostages. His grief marked the death of his revolutionary idealism. In a prison cell at Perales, Artemio's transformation culminated. Initially refusing freedom for information, he ultimately chose self-preservation, sacrificing Bernal while requesting Tobias's release, establishing the pattern for his future moral compromises. Emerging from revolution's chaos, Artemio Cruz transformed from idealistic soldier to calculating opportunist. He infiltrated the Bernal household by delivering news of Gonzalo's brave death, the same Gonzalo he had abandoned. When introduced to Catalina, Don Gamaliel's daughter, Artemio was captivated by her beauty. His scheme was methodical, undercut the aristocrats' loan rates to peasants, eventually seizing his land. Don Gamaliel, recognizing Artemio as a man with nothing to lose, instructed Catalina to make herself appealing. Though she despised Artemio, she understood her sacrifice would secure her father's position. Before surrendering, Catalina freed all caged birds, a metaphor for her impending captivity. As Mexico stabilized, Artemio built his empire through strategic corruption, securing railroad contracts and establishing businesses across multiple industries. When negotiating with Americans for sulfur deposits, he demanded $2 million for his influence, refusing personal exploitation while enabling foreigners to exploit Mexican resources, embodying his hypocritical business philosophy. Artemio and Catalina's union exemplified power without love. Their relationship began as a transaction. She sacrificed herself to save her father financially while he gained social standing and land connections. From the beginning, physical intimacy was tainted by emotional distance. In one telling scene, Catalina whispers, "I let myself go," upon waking beside Artemio, covering her mouth in shame, suggesting momentary pleasure that only deepens her self-loathing. Over time, their marriage hardened into resentment. Artemio claimed he needed Catalina merely as a witness to his life. She rejected him, admitting she imagined another man during intimacy. When he confessed his sins, she retreated to prayer. Their relationship reached its lowest point when Artemio forcibly took an Indian girl and brought her to live in their home. On his deathbed, Catalina approached and, for the first time in decades, caressed his forehead, a tender gesture he barely registered. Even at life's end, genuine connection eluded them. Artemio embodied the revolution's betrayal as he consolidated power in post-revolutionary Mexico. His newspaper ownership let him manipulate public opinion while posing as a champion of free press. To his editor, he cynically directed attacks on opponents as a brazen red plot, an alien infiltration foreign to the essence of the Mexican Revolution, invoking revolutionary rhetoric to protect his interests. At a clandestine meeting, military officers and politicians debated shifting allegiances, weighing loyalty against self-preservation. "We got where we are with the chief," versus "he's done for, the new boss has him boxed in." Cruz later pledged support to the president in exchange for valuable land. Former friends now ignored him. On his deathbed, Cruz reflected bitterly on his legacy. Mortgages. A class without class, a power without greatness, alongside thieving leaders, submissive unions, new latifundia, U.S. investments, jailed workers, acknowledging his role in creating a system that betrayed the revolution's promise. As death approached, Artemio's memories emerged not chronologically, but by emotional significance, forming a tapestry of regret. With Laura, he faced a crucial moment after dancing at the Plaza Hotel. In her apartment, she read Calderón de la Barca while he touched her pearl necklace. "I can't go on this way," she told him. "You have to make up your mind." Frustrated with his refusal to change, she turned away as Handel played. Artemio left, another connection sacrificed to his fear of vulnerability. The Spanish Civil War produced another vital memory. With his comrade Miguel, Artemio watched Republican soldiers retreat. They met three women, Dolores, Lola, Nuri, and Maria, and fled toward mountains. Artemio and Dolores grew intimate, promising to reunite after the war. The next day, a Nazi plane attacked. Artemio stood exposed as bullets flew around him. "Down, Lorenzo! Get down, you damn fool Mexican!" Miguel shouted as he fell. In his delirium, Artemio imagined his alternative choices: embracing the wounded soldier, saying yes to Laura, refusing the fat man, staying with companions, speaking to Catalina, remaining with Lunero. This highlights the novel's existentialist theme. We are defined by our choices, each eliminating countless other lives we might have lived. Through Artemio Cruz's life, Fuentes created a powerful allegory for Mexico's national experience. Cruz's journey from idealistic revolutionary to corrupt businessman mirrored Mexico's transformation from revolutionary promise to institutional corruption. Fuentes explored national identity through language itself. Artemio reflected on the Mexican expletive motherfucker as a cultural chain binding all Mexicans together, functioning as password, greeting, threat, and national identity, both curse and connection that separates us, petrifies us, rots us with its double venom of idol and cross. The novel examined Mexico's relationship with the United States. While positioning himself as a nationalist, Cruz facilitated foreign exploitation of Mexican resources, embodying the post-revolutionary dilemma of balancing development with sovereignty. In his final moments, Cruz's fragmented consciousness captured Mexican identity, simultaneously ancient and modern, indigenous and European, revolutionary yet conservative, reflecting a nation struggling to reconcile its contradictions.